You may be seated. If you're with us online, go ahead and get your communion elements ready along with your Bible. And we're going to be taking communion at the end of today's service. So please get your bread, crackers, or juice, water, and help take communion with us today. Today's we're talking about our victory in Christ. Everybody say our victory in Christ. So in Galatians chapter 2, it says to us, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Everybody say that with me. I have been crucified with Christ. Amen. So when Christ died, you died together with him. Amen. Now, this is talking about the real you, not the physical you, not the body of you, the spirit of you. Your spirit man is your real person, your real individual. Why? Because we said you are a spirit, you possess a soul, but you live in a body. You live in a body. Your body is your earth suit. It is not you. You is your spirit man. Amen. So I, my spirit man, you, your spirit man, have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, you no longer live. The old you no longer exists. But Christ lives in you. Where does he live? In your spirit. Amen. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in who? In the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Not now. So Jesus is using our body, and we're believing him and trusting him to flow and flourish and function through us. Amen. Praise God. So this is a big identity statement. Amen. So if Jesus is using your body, he will give you victory over your body. If Jesus is using your body, he will get you triumph in and through your body. Praise God. In Philemon chapter 6, verse 6, it's only one chapter, it says that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. The Amplified Classic says it this way: I pray that the participation and sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge of every good thing that is in our identification with Christ Jesus and unto his glory. In our identification with Christ and unto his glory. Praise God. Somebody say hallelujah. So we acknowledging means that we recognize or think about, to be conscious of, or to daily declare who we are in Christ and what we have in Christ. It also means that we walk in the light of who we are in Christ. So last month and this month, we've been moving ahead and talking about who we are in Christ and who we are in the body of Christ and what we possess in him. And so all of us should be moving ahead or moving step forward. And so we said that when you acknowledge every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus, your faith will become effective. Everybody say, my faith will become effective when I acknowledge every good thing that's in me in Christ Jesus. So that means you recognize, receive, and you confess it. Now, some people try to take shortcuts with their faith by just confessing the thing they need. And so they're trying to use their faith apart from their faith in Jesus. What, how did Paul say that he lives? I live the life I live in the flesh. I live by the faith in what? In Christ Jesus. Faith in what he's done. Faith is in what he's accomplished. Faith in his finished works. The table represents what Jesus started and finished. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. This is my blood, which was shed for the New Testament, the New Covenant. In other words, he's saying, I'm doing this for you. My body was broken for you. My blood was shed for you. you don't start just any old random anywhere. You have to start where Jesus finished. So our starting point is where he finished. Come on, y'all. Some of us start in a religious posture and say, well, I'm trying to believe, I'm trying to do good, I'm trying to get it right, I'm trying to make it happen. Well, you just slipped back into legalism and religion. And you slipped out of Christ. See, you trying to do it yourself makes you trying to be self-righteous. But you got to do it in him. You got to do it through him. You got to do it by him. Praise God. It's victory in Christ. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So you have to acknowledge it with your faith. What you have, what belongs to you. Now take inventory of yourself. What did you do last week with your faith? Well, you should be acknowledging every day, because your faith becomes ineffective when you don't acknowledge who you are and what belongs to you in Christ, because that's your starting point, where he finished, what he's already done. See, when we don't start with what he's already done, we start with what we're trying to do, what we're trying to get. I'm trying to get delivered from this bad mouth, Pastor. I'm trying to get delivered from cussing. I'm trying to get delivered from cigarettes. I'm trying to get delivered from alcohol. I'm trying to get delivered from drugs. I'm trying to get delivered from pornography. I'm trying to get delivered from being addicted to social media. I'm going to try harder. Come on now. I'm trying to get delivered from what my fleshly appetites run in my mouth, or liking some juicy gossip. Right? I'm trying to get delivered from complaining. I'm trying to stop complaining. Well, where are you starting? Because if you're trying to do it, you don't trust and believe that Jesus has already done it. Because the Bible says he was tempted at all points like we are, yet without sin. And so we're thinking, Jesus hasn't overcome, so I have to now try to overcome. In other words, I don't look at his victory as my victory, so I go back to trying it to get victory. I go back to trying it. And I slipped out from in Christ. Now I slipped where? Outside of Christ, and I'm trying to live right. I'm trying to do good. I'm trying to live in the straight now. I'm trying to stop worrying, Pastor, when we don't realize that we have the mind of Christ. Our faith becomes effective when we do what? Acknowledge every good thing that's in me. Recognize, discern, declare, or confess, this is who I am. This is what I have. Now the devil will try to keep you from doing that every single day. Get you up late, you're busy, rushing, trying to put your clothes on, trying to put your hair together, and your hygiene, and your some of you that wear makeup, you know, trying to get your face looking good, and you're running out of the door, not knowing that the devil just robbed you of your spiritual identity. This is where we get it right, back at the table. Because he said, as often as you do this, you're supposed to do what? Remember me. The biggest issue that we looked at in Deuteronomy 8 was the sin of forgetfulness. They didn't remember the Lord. when things were good. They didn't remember the Lord when things are bad. Because we figure out, we say we have an identity crisis. On the low end, when things are bad, what happens? We say what? I don't know why this is happening to me. I don't know why the Lord let this happen to me. We lose our identity on that end. And then when things are good, we say, well, I did this. My faith did this. I must have checked all the blocks right. I must have earned some credit with heaven. I got this blessing in my life. Both issues are bad. They're hard tests to pass. And every one of us have the hard test of faith every day. If we're going to walk out of the house or start our day in Him, in Christ, or where? Outside of Christ or in crisis. So how are we going to live June? How are we going to live in June? But how is our faith going to be effective to live in Christ in June? Got to acknowledge every good thing that's in you in Christ. And if we were to take a test or a poll or a survey this morning, how many scriptures could you recall or do you remember that you can recite of who you are in Christ, what you have in Him? Come on, we ought to have a contest, you know, at the end of the month, you know, see how many scriptures we all can come up with. We should all come up with at least 10. We gave you the 12 scriptural confessions last Sunday. Everybody got that? Everybody using that? Amen. Praise God. If you want it online, you have to send us a text or email and request it and give us your email address. So we'll send it to you. But amen. We're not just giving you paper, just you can file away or put in file 13. You know what file 13 is, right? That's the trash can. That means we want you to implement it, right? It's so important that you stay in Christ. These teachings are so vital for us that you stay in Christ. Why? So that you don't live in crisis. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 10. So you acknowledge the good things in Christ, your faith will become effective. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart one believes and unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With your heart you believe and unto righteousness. So you got to believe to get in right standing. You got to believe what? This is who I am. That means we have to stop believing what everybody else says we are. Right? People call us old. Especially when you're in the 60 and above club. They start calling you old. Are you old? No. That's not who you are. Because every day is a new day in Christ. He renews my youth like the eagles. Amen. Moses was 120 years old. It says his eyes didn't grow dim, neither his natural forces abate. Abated. That means God had to make him die. Tell him, you need to die. Your time's up. Get off the clock. He's 120 years old. But he still had the strength as Joshua and Caleb had at 80, at 85. Caleb said, I had the same strength as I was 40. Who's telling you you're old? Come on now. I mean, you got TV commercials telling you old, telling you your gray hair means you're getting toward paraplegic. Hallelujah. Praise God. People tell you you're slow. You can't remember stuff. You're losing your memory. You're losing your mind. You're losing your health. Is that who you are? With the mouth, with the heart, man believes unto what? Righteousness. That means right standing with God. my right standing with God is a good position with the Father. That means I'm in Christ, so I have a good position. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Somebody say, praise God. Everybody say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. When people call you unemployed or you broke, you're on a fixed income. Why are you identifying with it? I don't work. What do you mean? That's unscriptural to say I don't work, because God's working in you, and if he's working in you, he wants you to work things out of you. The Bible says we are the workmanship in Christ, right? So stop saying I don't work. Hallelujah. You know how it is. When you were your work, a lot of you during your working years, you identified, mainly people tell you, identify with, they come up and tell you, what do you do? What do you do for a living? And they equate what you do to who you are. But is that true in the kingdom? No, it's not. Your right standing with God tells you who you are. Then that determines what you're supposed to do. And with the mouth, confession is made unto what? Salvation, which is an all-encompassing word, which means safety, preservation, protection, deliverance, victory, praise God, temporary blessings, protection from dangers and disasters and calamities, all that stuff. Your mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So your heart has a duty and your mouth has a duty. So we often say that there's no Christian who's unemployed in the body of Christ. There's always work to be done, but the challenge is, are you doing the work? Are you going to work? Our first works are to be his works, and they start from where he finished his works. Pastor, I'm just too busy all day. You're not in your Bible. You're not doing any confessions. You're not in prayer. Well, you're an unauthorized. Amen. You're doing things unauthorized in the body of Christ, in your life in Christ. Everybody at a minimum has things to do with their heart and things to do with their mouth. Because the just shall live by faith. And faith minimum requirements are what? Believing and speaking. Well, Pastor, you don't know how much responsibilities I have. I get it. A lot of us have responsibilities up to the eyeballs. That means we should be doing more work, heart work, and mouth work. Ooh, I don't know I'm going this way. This is not even in my notes. So your heart, your newborn, recreated human spirit has a duty to believe, to produce unquestioning and unwavering belief and confidence in who God is and what God has promised. Because once you find out who your Father is, who your Heavenly Father is, you find out and discover who you are. And the love letter he left us is the Holy Bible, the Bible, to tell us who our Father is, who Jesus is. There's 130 in Christ, in him scriptures in the New Testament. There's 35 really powerful or major ones. We ought to get busy learning those 35. That's not just homework. That's our heart work. To believe, for example, 2 Corinthians 5:21, that he who knew no sin became sin for us. that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. So you say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. You stand in the mirror, look yourself in the eye in the mirror and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm a brand new creation in him. I'm a partaker of his divine nature. And in me, he did not impute sin. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. You look at Ephesians 1:3. He's the Father has blessed us. You say, thank you, Father, that you bless me with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. I am blessed. I am not cursed. I thank you that I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing, physical blessings, mental blessings, emotional blessings, financial blessings. When the devil tells you, about to lose your mind, you're losing your memory, you're losing your wits, you're getting crazed in the wits. Come on now. You say, no, I have the mind of Christ, and I hold the thoughts and feelings and purposes of his heart. You're not driving me crazy, Mr. Devil. I got Jesus living on the inside of me. I got Jesus' brains. I got Jesus' thoughts. Praise God. Somebody say hallelujah. So stop saying to everybody, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know how I can take it anymore. I don't think I can take it anymore. And we're just making emotional pulls and plays on people, and that's not right. Everybody say it with me. I have the mind of Christ. Whew, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we believe. And with our mouth, right, we confess and speak with the word of God. Why do you need to speak the word of God, Pastor? Why you put so much emphasis on confession? Why? Because, well, here. But let me give you something to think about. One, you got to school yourself in the faith. How are you going to school yourself in the faith? You got to speak the word. You got to get the word in your mouth. Just like when you put coffee in that cup or hot chocolate in the cup out there. You should cut up little scriptures and bring them in and put them in that cup. Like that one preacher's wife did him. She put scriptures in his mouth. And he was drinking his coffee that morning. And he started spitting. He said, what's that? He said, you got to get the word in your mouth. They were little cut up pieces of scripture. So what do you got to do at home? In your personal private time, when you come to church, keep the word in your mouth. You got to have the word in your mouth to get it into your heart. And then once you get it into your heart, then you school yourself or kind of edify your heart to get into faith. Because you'll believe yourself quicker than anybody else. So it's just not listening to sermons or listening to the Bible being read to you. You become the reader. You read it out loud to yourself. You talk to yourself about the Word of God. We gave you those 12 scripture confessions. Then you say it to yourself. You say it to yourself. You get it in your heart. And then it comes out of your mouth stronger and full of faith. Amen. The mixer is your tongue. Don't get your tongue mixed up in other stuff. Saying what you feel, saying what you see, saying what you can't have, what you can't do, what I don't know. I don't know what God's going to do. No, you speak his word. And, of course, the acknowledging of your faith is essential to work properly. So faith must have a bold confession to work properly. Now, why does confession work? We said it. I'm just going to hit the high points. Confession of the word sows seed into the kingdom. When you say, you sow. The number one parable or parallel, think of a parable as a parallel. Parallel between the spirit realm to the natural realm. It's a parable. It's not a whopper tale or just some story Jesus made up. He's given us a parallel illustration of how the kingdom operates versus which is unseen and how things operate in the earth. So he's given us a parable or a parallel of the sower sowing the word. And he said the seed is the word of God. And the soil is the human heart. And he says the sower sows the word. We must take care of our heart condition. We must till the soil of our own heart, of our own spirit. There's wayside soil. There is stony soil. There is thorns soil. And there's good soil. Jesus said there's four types of soil. That's in that parable of the sower in Mark 4 and Mark 13. He said the whole kingdom operates this way. If you don't understand this parable or parallel, you'll not understand how things work. So that means the word of God contains within it the power to produce what it's been, what it was, what it says. And it goes on in that same chapter in Mark chapter 4. He said there's a parable of what? The sower, that the man casts seed into the ground. So he hooked the parable of the sower to the parable of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is as a man casting seed. In other words, every day you ought to be putting seed. What is the seed? The word of God. The word of God into the ground. Where? What ground? Your human heart. Other human hearts, like your grandkids. Many of us are watching grandkids and great grandkids. You should be speaking the word into their heart. Why? Because you're sowing seed that will produce a harvest. You don't be walking by what you see and feel and say, come here, baby. Oh, you're just lying to them. You placate their emotions. You need to be speaking the word of God into their heart. So that the Bible, like the Bible says, thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against God. Amen. Hey, praise God. And then you teach the child in the way that he should go. And when he's not old, when he's old, it won't depart from him. That's why Children's Church and TWCC Kids is so important, because you need to get the word in their heart. You know, shame on parents and grandparents that won't speak the word of God into their children. You won't read the scriptures. Read the Proverbs. Read the Psalms. Speak the scriptures while they're going to sleep. So it gets in their spirit. That's our work, our homework, our faith work. Because you want them to be raised up in Christ and not in crisis. Sometimes we miss it with our kids. We didn't give them the word of God. We gave them our worries. We give them our woes. We gave them our wicked words. But you got to give them the word of God, because that's how it works. You said, I'm putting the word of God in you, son. I'm reading the Bible to you. I'm reading it and I'm putting it in your spirit, so that when the angels will protect it, when you come up in life, when you're a teenager, when that wicked teenager period comes upon you, you'll have the word anchored in your spirit. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And he said, a man casts seed in the ground. He says, he sleeps and rise and does not know how it comes up. But then it comes. Then when it springs forth, the man puts in the sickle. First the blade, the ear, and the full corner ear. And when it's ripe and ready, he puts in the sickle. That means what you say is what you sow. It's not what you say in church. It's what you say every day. So that's why we need faith friends. We need faith buddies to say, what are you saying? What are you saying about that? Don't tell me something how you feel and what you see. Because if I'm a good faith buddy, I love you enough to correct you. You love me enough to correct me. Right? And freshly couples should be faith buddies. Now, wait a minute. We're not going to complain. We're going to say what we believe. We're going to say what the word of God says. And don't get mad at him when he say, no, stop that complaining. Don't get upset, right? Say, stop that complaining, stop that mumbling and grumbling. Come on, we got to get the word in our mouth. Just like that pastor, his wife had a nervous breakdown. You know, Pastor Mark's wife, husband, mom. Had a husband in the mouth. She's in the bedroom. She don't want to get out of bed. She's in the bed all day, shades closed, don't want the light to come in, under the covers. She had a nervous breakdown. She's in great depression. I mean, serious clinical depression. Don't want to get up. But he got a hold of the authority of the believer. And he got a hold of the word of God in Christ's message. And said, come on, baby, we got to say it. She said, no, I don't want to say it. And then she snapped back and said, you say it. No, it don't count if you say it for them. You got to say it yourself. That's why you need partners. Come on, say it. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Praise God. Somebody say, praise God. I am the workmanship of God. Praise God. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Praise God. Don't say, don't get in and pat each other on the back and be pity, have pity parties. A pity party is not a good party. He said, come on, put your faith breeches on. We're not going to tell you what we feel. We're not going to say what we see. We're not going to say what the negative situation is happening. We're going to say what the word of God says. Praise God. And that's why confession works, because if you say it and don't change it, it's going to work. It's going to come up a blade, a ear, the full corn in the ear. And you're going to look around and say, harvest is here now. Let's get the sickle out. It takes faith to sow and faith to receive. Amen. Confession works. Why? Because the word of God causes faith to come. Confession of the wrong things causes fear to come. Sometimes you got to stop in the middle of your situation and say, what's working in me? Is it faith or fear? Now, I'll give you some clues or cues. All doubt is fear-based. All worry and anxiety is fear-based and fear-dependent. So if you're sensing worry there, you're not in faith. Fear is working in you. When fear starts, faith stops. When fear is manifested, your faith gets contaminated. All unbelief, all disobedience is fear-based. Somebody said, well, I don't want to do that. I don't have to do that. When he said your faith is affected by acknowledging every good thing in Christ, well, why do you want to do it? Well, all that disobedience and rebellion is fear-based. He said, I don't want to do it. Because faith requires confidence and courage. In the face of overwhelming odds and seemingly impossible situations, you got to say, just like Jesus said, talk to the mountain. Say to that big thing, mountain, get out of my way. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we said, your faith is not strong enough to move your mountain. Mouth, it'll never be strong enough to move your mountain. Why does confession work? Well, we said, number two, faith of the word of God, in the word of God causes faith to come. Confession is the wrong thing, causes fear to come. Faith always stops at the question mark. You think God's through with us? You think God's wants to heal me? You stop faith at that point. You think God wants to prosper me? Stop faith. Take no thoughts of the wrong things. How you know you're worrying? I'm thinking about it. Third, confession of the word of God activates and sets the law of faith into motion. Mark 11:23-24, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. That's the law of faith. Works by saying it and praying it. Even if you pray it, you still have to say it. Praise God. Fourth, confession of the word of God opens the door to the supernatural and the miraculous. Everybody say it opens the door. So in other words, you introduce that problem to God. He said, God, mountain, let me introduce you to my Heavenly Father. Believing and speaking. Amen. Amen. All right, next slide, guys. Our faith, our victory in Christ because of his blood and his redemptive work. Now listen to what it says here. Colossians 1, 19 through 21. For it pleased the Father that in him, everybody say in him, all the fullness should dwell. So where's all the fullness? In Christ. So do you need to look anywhere else? And sometimes people want to look at things outside of Christ instead of looking at things in Christ. In him all, and by him, so look at in him, and verse 20, and by him, by who? Jesus, to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven. So we would say it this way, from heaven to my heart, anything is eligible to be reconciled. Whew. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, and you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. He's reconciled. Everybody say reconciled. So we see the power of reconciliation. Everybody say the power of reconciliation. Where is it? In, by, and through the blood of Jesus here. Reconcile means to bring together. We're reconciled or brought together with the Father when Jesus shed his blood to remove our sins. That was the biggest act of reconciliation. Now we become joint heirs with Jesus and peace with God. God is not mad at us. He's not hostile or opposed to us anymore. So we were not made one with God in heaven, not only make one with God in heaven, but he's also we have peace with people on earth. So because you're reconciled with God, you have peace with people on earth. Now, who's mad at you? Who you mad at? The biggest burden sometimes for Christians is their own family. Things are not right. Things are not righteous between that relationship. You can use Colossians 1, 19 through 20 and 21 to reconcile it. Faith in the blood. Father God, I thank you that I have peace with you. And because I have peace with you and peace with my Lord Jesus Christ, that I can have peace on earth in all of my relationships. So this relationship that's bothering me, that's bugging me, that's been a blockage to my heart and my joy level, I bring it before you in the name of Jesus. And by faith in the blood, I say that that relationship is reconciled in Jesus' name. Now, I'm giving you examples of how to deal with this stuff. God will reconcile others with you according to 1 John 1:20 if you use it by faith. So we got victory in relationships. Things ain't right between you and your parents or your siblings or your children, sons and daughters, or your cousins or extended family. Why? Because God wants you to use your faith effectively out to your first, second, and third, even third cousin to see them come back to God. But if you got a jacked up relationship with them, if you got a junky relationship with them, then you cannot effectively use your faith for them. Now, summer's a good time where people get together, family reunions, people take trips, take vacations, but why not take Colossians 1, 19, 20, and 21 with you and say, Father God, I know I have peace with you and I have peace with my Lord Jesus Christ, so I'm going to in contact with this person, so I'm trusting you to bring reconciliation between them and me in the name of Jesus. Y'all out there, y'all gone home already. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Well, Pastor, I don't want to get back together with them. They hurt me and said some ugly things with me. Well, what's wrong with you? You have the love of God. Forgive them. Oh, y'all look like y'all had enough already. Is this too deep? Y'all good? All right. Victory in Christ, right? I don't care how mean and nasty that relative is. You can have peace. Now, I'm not talking about the world peace, where they're not talking about you or complaining against you or backstabbing you or doing ugly stuff to you. What is peace? God's kind of peace. Wholeness, soundness, nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. You can rock right up to them and say, how you doing? Kiss them on the cheek, right? Good to see you. Somebody say hallelujah. Hebrews 10:16-18 says, and this is a covenant I will make with them after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and their minds, and I will write them. And he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. So we see that God has cut a new covenant with us through his blood and the power of remission at work. What is the remission? So we saw the power of reconciliation. Now we see the power of remission. Remission for our sins is the cancellation of penalty for sins, which is death in all its phases and forms, hell and eternal damnation. That is the penalty for sin. The wages of sin is death, right? The gift of God is eternal life. Number two, the removal of guilt and the stain of sin consciousness. The removal of guilt and the stain of sin consciousness. We've been acquitted and our record has been expunged. Amen. When your record's expunged, it means it's meant to destroy it, to obliterate it, to strike out records of information on in files, computers, and other depositories. Now, sometimes when you get together with family or family reunions, people bring up your past, when you were little, when you were wild, when you were a sinner, when you were in trouble, when you were in danger, when you were out, strung out on drugs, when you were drinking and partying and loose with your morals. That's not who you are. That's been remitted because of the blood. Now, sometimes what does the devil do? Tempt you in your flesh, and you get to cowering and being compliant with them and say, yeah, I remember back in there. And they bring you back, and they push you back out of Christ or before Christ. But everybody say, this is the power of remission. If you let people affect you when they tell you, you remember when you cheated? Remember when you did this? Remember you when you did that? Remember you were going with this person? What is that? That's the devil trying to pull you out of Christ and pull you out of your place. Don't talk into it. Talk remission. I don't remember who that person was. I'm a new person in Christ. I'm not who I used to be. Uncle so-and-so, cousin so-and-so, that person is dead. The new person lives in Christ. Somebody say praise the Lord. Colossians 2, 1 through 11 through 15 says, in him, everybody say in him. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, putting off the body of sins of the flesh and the circumcision of Christ, buried with him. Everybody say with him. But in baptism, in that you were also raised with him. Everybody say with him. Through the faith of the working of God who raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision in your flesh, he has made alive together with him. Everybody say with him. Having forgiven you all your trespasses. How many? Every time you lied, cheated, stole, committed sin, committed adultery, committed fornication, smoked drugs, smoked pot, got high, drunk under the table. That's not who you are. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So don't try to act like that. Amen? Somebody say praise the Lord. Having wiped out the handwriting requirements against us, which was contrary to us, he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, having disarmed principalities of power, make a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Somebody say praise the Lord. All right. I'm closing with this. Our victory in Christ. Next. Yeah. Oh, they are either. All right. Thank you, guys. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. 1 John 1:5-4 says, for every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. Now, the Passion Translation says this. You see, every child of God overcomes the world, for our faith is the victorious power that triumphs over the world. Three verses that reveal to us the importance of faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In other words, faith in his finished works, faith in his death, faith in his burial, his resurrection, his exaltation as Lord, Savior, and Redeemer. These verses also reveal to us the key to victory, our faith. Our focus and our faith is in Christ's victory enables, activates, and appropriates our victory. Our faith level determines our victory level. Everybody say it with me. My faith level determines my victory level. If nothing defeated Jesus Christ, then because you are in Christ, nothing has to be permitted or allowed to defeat, devastate, or destroy you. His victory is your victory now by faith. So don't have faith and try to get it. Have faith in the fact and truth that Jesus already got it. The battle is the Lord's. The victory is mine. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. All right, I don't have time to read that last part. I'll pick that up next week. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all, stand to your feet. Let's thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, one of the things we got to remember when we take the communion elements, that God loves me.